It's incredible to be here tonight, and I get to finish up our series, Atmospheres, and it's just been an incredible series. January's been a great month for us as a church. I'm really excited to kick off into 2017. It feels like we're kicking off with momentum, we're kicking off with life, and I'm glad you're excited to conclude this series tonight. We've been looking at 2 Corinthians 3:17, this whole series, which says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." You know, we celebrate the great freedom we have in this land. We celebrate the freedom we have as a people. But there is no freedom like the freedom found in Jesus Christ. There is nothing that compares to that. And we've been saying this with every message that where Christ is, there is hope. There's freedom today. There's opportunity. There's a chance for things to change. And not only a chance, there is a high probability. There is a promise. There is something you can count on that where God is, there's freedom. There's hope for you today. So we've been talking about different atmospheres. We've talking about an atmosphere of agreement, first of all, an atmosphere of anticipation, and an atmosphere of awe. And I got to speak for myself. I've been really challenged personally by this series. I mean, every week is just like a punch in the guts in a good way, just reminding us of the atmosphere that's around our life, because we all carry an atmosphere everywhere we go. And tonight, I want to talk to you about the atmosphere of abundance. Abundance. Now, some of you, that word scares you a little bit, and you know, you might be thinking, in a minute I'm going to be talking about a one-time faith $1,000 offering that you can send or things like that, but we're not going to get into any of that. But I was thinking about abundance, you know, the difference and how we could talk about or start out illustrating abundance. And one of the things that comes to my mind is a good, fast internet connection. Because, I mean, you know, first world problems these days, bad Wi-Fi. Right? I mean, how can you have a good day with bad Wi-Fi? There's nothing worse, because you know how the internet works, is like if you have an assignment that is due and you really should be doing something else, but you're procrastinating on YouTube, YouTube is going to load like that. It's just going to flow and just be awesome. And you're going to lose hours at a time. But later when you want to show somebody a really funny video and you're like, just, hey, you got to watch this, you got to see this, you're just going to get that buffering wheel of death forever. And it's just awful. And I'm old enough, though. I can remember pre-YouTube days in this planet. I know, it's crazy. 2005, YouTube was released. And does anybody know what the most watched video is on YouTube? It's Psy's Gangnam Style. 2.7 billion plus views. I just had to check it beforehand and watch it once, because you got to add to the total. 2.7 billion views. You know, they say that there is about 500 hours of content uploaded to YouTube every minute. So I was trying to think about this idea of abundance and kind of try to paint a picture for you of what abundance is like. Abundance is massive. Like, abundance is, it's hard to get your head around. It's hard to kind of qualify it. It's hard to put like a boundary on. It's just abundant. It's just huge. And Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." So Jesus came for you to have life, but not just life, 500 hours of content a minute kind of life, an abundant life, a big life, a life that is so much bigger than just yourself, so much bigger than just what you think could be possible or what your family has told you is possible or what a teacher may have told you is possible or not possible for you. Jesus came for you to have a life that is big, that is abundant. And so I want to talk about that tonight. I want to unpack abundance. I want to unpack what that looks like for us and how that can work out in our day-to-day life. There's a paradox when it comes to Christian abundance, and it's this. In Jesus, I have all I could ever want or need. In Jesus, I have that, and you have it too. But, and in Jesus, there is always more to come. So in Jesus right now, you have an abundant life. You have all you could need, all you could hope for, to see Christ, to know Christ, to have him. That's the reason we can sing, bless the Lord, no matter what situation or circumstance we might find ourselves in. It's because right now, in Jesus, we have enough, and we have more than enough. But he's so good. He's so abundant. He doesn't just leave it at that. In Jesus, there's a paradox where we go, right now, I have everything I could ever want, everything I could ever need in him, but there is always more to come. And some of you need to get your mind around that tonight. You need to understand that the God we serve, there's always more with him. You know, even in eternity, we were singing before, you know, 10,000 years and forevermore, we'll be singing his praises. You know, even in eternity, we will be perpetually surprised. There'll be perpetually more in God. You know, we'll never reach a point where we go with God, with his abundance, with his power, with his grace, with his love. You'll never reach a point where you go, I've seen everything there is to see. For all of eternity, we will continually, forever be finding more and more and more in him. There is so much more in God. God is so much bigger than you can possibly imagine. And he said that he came so you could have life that is abundant. But what is abundance? How do we define it? Let's unpack that. Let's talk about that a little bit more. It's important that you understand abundance is an atmosphere around your life, not just a bank balance, okay? So when we're talking about abundance here, don't just automatically flick in your mind to think we're just talking about, you know, the bank balance or how much money you have or what kind of car you drive or things like that. Now it's not, doesn't exclude that, but it's an atmosphere. It's not a bank balance. And as Christians, we're called to carry an atmosphere of abundance. You and me, we should be abundance going somewhere to happen. You see, someone carrying an atmosphere of abundance in their life lives life from this point of view. This is how you can know. They live life with this point of view. There's more where that came from. That's how they approach life. That's how they live life. They go with a mindset thinking there's more where that came from, as opposed to walking around thinking, I got to keep everything I can. I got to, you know, make sure that I just take care of mine, take care of me, and that's it. No, an abundant atmosphere is a generous atmosphere. It's an open atmosphere. It's a big atmosphere around our lives. People who are living in abundance are always overflowing on others. They're the kind of people that, and I hope you have people like this in your life, where when you hang out with them, maybe you grab a coffee, you spend an evening together, whatever, you just feel better for having being with them. Do you have anyone like that in your life? I pray you do, that you've got those friends that you can hang out with and you feel like charged up when you're around them. And you know, you can maybe spend 5-10 minutes with this kind of person and you walk away and you just feel like you've kind of been filled up. You know, you feel like they've sort of overflowed in life onto you. But then there's also people that I like to call the drainos of life, and they drain you. They can do the opposite. You just, I don't know what it is. You could just be in the room with them and they just suck the life right out of you. And you just leave and you're just like, man, I'm just tired. And I don't know why. You know, some people give out smiles and life to the world around them, like every single smile costs them $100. Have you ever noticed that? It's just like, all the time. And it's kind of a strange thing in the world today where, like, you can't smile at somebody or be kind to somebody without it being interpreted as flirting. Or if, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's like, if you're just kind of like, hi, how are you today? People either react one of two ways. They're kind of like, oh, like, how dare you? I don't even know you. Or it's kind of like, good, how are you? I'm like, listen, I'm just trying to check out my groceries at Aldi here, okay? And we're human beings interacting here. They haven't replaced you with a machine yet, which I like. I want to talk to you. Can we just talk here for a second? You know, some people are seagulls in life. You know, they fly in. They eat all the chips. They crap everywhere. And they fly back out. That's what they do. But as a Christian, you're called to not be a seagull, not be a taker. You remember the seagulls in Finding Nemo? Mine, mine. That's the number one word in my house right now with my two kids is that. They're like the seagulls in Nemo. They're like, mine. We live our life like that, but we're not called to be drainos or takers. We're called to live a life of abundance. We're called to live a life where people that are around us, people that spend any sort of time with us would say they are full of life. Because Jesus Christ said, I am life. So if you're full of Jesus, you're going to be full of life. I'm tired of Christians who are like, I'm so full of Jesus right now. It's so good to be at church. Man, this worship song's great. If you're full of Jesus, you're going to be full of life. Because he is life. So we're called to live a life in abundance, and abundance is an atmosphere around you. Now, the opposite of abundance is not necessarily poverty. Let me unpack this for you. The opposite of an atmosphere of an abundance is an atmosphere of scarcity or inadequacy. Because listen, you can have an atmosphere of abundance with very little in your life, but still carry an atmosphere of abundance. Or you can have an atmosphere of scarcity with great wealth. They're not in connection with just how much stuff or how much money you have. I really want to disconnect those two things in your mind. Now, it's not, again, saying that God is against you having things or doesn't want you to have, but we get these two things too connected, and we think, well, I can't be abundant. I'm a uni student. No. No matter how much or what your bank account says right now, we're called as Christians to carry an atmosphere of abundance. You can have $10 or $10 million and have an atmosphere of lack or abundance around your life. It's really not connected either way. And I just want to go to a verse for a second and just kind of deviate our track for just a second to a verse that is often quoted and often misunderstood when we talk about abundance, specifically when it comes to finances. And I kind of want to pick at a couple things just for a second because I want to teach you guys. I want you to go into life and do what you do knowledgeable, knowing the word of God, knowing what's true. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul says this, but those who desire, notice that word, to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many pangs or many sorrows. You know, we read a verse like this and we think that it is a warning to rich people. But you know, it's not. He said those who, what? Desire to be rich. When it's all that you think about, when it's what you crave, when it's what's number one in your life, when you go, man, I gotta get rich or die trying. I gotta step over anybody. I have to have this in my life. I must be rich. I'm nobody unless I drive this certain kind of car, live in this certain kind of house, wear these certain kind of clothes. And I want you to see that this atmosphere, which is really an atmosphere of scarcity, because it's really saying, I got to get mine and protect mine. That desire, you know, you can have $5 in your bank account and have this atmosphere of scarcity in your life. Or you could have $100 million in your life and have an atmosphere of abundance around. It's not specifically tied just to your bank account. Because when we get thinking about money and we think about the church or think about different things like that, we kind of tend to think of one of two things. One of two kind of errors that I just want to unpack quickly for us. One is a thing called the prosperity gospel, which basically says God is like Santa in the sky. And you give Santa your list. And, you know, if you're good all year through, God's job is to kind of give you whatever you want. And people get into error into that. They think that God is just a vending machine in the sky. And the problem with that is we get thinking that God is just a means to an end. What I really want is wealth and power. And God, I need you to get me that. I'm not really super interested in you being my end. My end is I want wealth. And so you're kind of my means to an end. And so that's a problem right there. But there's a new movement, particularly amongst your age group. There's a new movement right now that I'll call the anti-prosperity gospel, and it's just as deceptive. It's just as broken. And it says this, it says this, I'm spiritual and more holy because I drive an old car and have no money. That makes me better than you. See, the prosperity gospel goes, I've got tons of money, that makes me better than you. The anti-prosperity gospel error on the other side goes, I have nothing, therefore I am better than you. And here's the thing. We think it means that we're more spiritual, and we have a mindset when we think this, that I really only want just enough for me to survive. But really, that is selfishness manifested in a whole different way, maybe even a more deceptive way. It's a selfishness that says, rather than prioritizing riches, I want to be right. I want to be better than everyone, but have nothing to give anyone. So let me just say, when it comes to money, it's just the thing. Don't let it control your life. Don't let it rule your life. God wants you to live an abundant life, a life where your life is overflowing, where your heart is overflowing. And strangely enough, money seems to get in the way of this more than anything. And I want you to know tonight, though, that God wants you to live an abundant life. He wants you to live a life that is full, whether you got $5 or whatever you got, that you carry with you an atmosphere of abundance. And don't allow the deceitfulness of riches to, whether it's one way or the other, don't allow it to get you off track of the mission, which is to love Jesus with everything you got and love everybody else around you the way that he would love them. A person with an atmosphere of abundance is living from this point. They say, what can I give? When I'm going anywhere, I'm thinking, what can I give? A person with an atmosphere of scarcity is living from this paradigm. What can I get? What can I take? What's in it for me? In Acts chapter 2, which is where I want to go, we're going to spend the rest of our time here. At the dawn of the church, you see what happens when an atmosphere, basically all the atmospheres we've been talking about, an atmosphere of agreement and anticipation and awe, when they all kind of collide at the very beginning of the church and just exploded. And I want to look at some verses of scripture here, and then we're going to unpack just a little bit more this idea of abundance and then get into some areas of abundance that I believe God has for you in 2017 and for the rest of your life as well that he wants to unlock for you. So let's look at Acts 2, verse 42, and it says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul. Would that awe for Jesus would come upon every soul in this church and in our city. Can you imagine a Gold Coast where an awe of God, that we had such a move of God, we had such a power of God in our city, and not just in this church, in every church proclaiming the name of Jesus, that such an awe for God would come over our whole city. Jesus, let that happen. Bring speed the day, Jesus, where there is an awe upon every soul. And many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. That's amazing. That's a bunch of people living in abundance with an attitude of like, I'm here to give, not to get. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They're going to church and life group, both in the temple and in their homes. They receive their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is a picture. This is a window into the possibility of what the church of Jesus Christ can be like. When we are a people so filled with an atmosphere of alignment, an atmosphere of agreement, an atmosphere of anticipation, an atmosphere of awe, and an atmosphere then of abundance. But what creates, we've talked about abundance, I think we've kind of laid out what it is and what that atmosphere is like in our life. But what creates an atmosphere of abundance? It's kind of, again, not necessarily the most intuitive thing. It seems like a paradox because you'd think, well, abundance means that I've got a whole bunch of stuff or that I've, you know, means that something is really full. But you know that actually hunger is what drives and creates an atmosphere of abundance in your life. You see, a hunger for God creates an atmosphere of abundance. When God is what we're hungry for, see, these people in the book of Acts, more than anything else, they had a hunger, they had a drive, they had a desire for God. They had a desire to preach Jesus, to tell people about Jesus, to know Jesus. And out of that hunger comes an atmosphere of abundance. You see, it's kind of upside down, like it's kind of non-intuitive. It's, you kind of think, well, how can hunger create an atmosphere of abundance? Well, when it's a hunger for God, and we're drawing and coming closer to God in our life, wherever God is, there's an atmosphere of abundance. And so if you want to have an atmosphere of abundance in your life, you need an atmosphere and you need a hunger for God. Out of this, the church exploded, out of this hunger for God. And it's crazy. They didn't have any lights. You know, they didn't have this fine Australia set like Daryl mentioned earlier. They didn't have Aaron to sing songs for them at the beginning. They didn't have an Instagram account. They didn't have YouTube. They didn't have a website. But the church exploded around the world. And 2,000 years later, we're still here, billions of people around the planet worshiping Jesus, loving Jesus with everything we've got because of a people who, above everything else, had a hunger for God. Let me challenge you and inspire you at the possibility in your life that would come out of a hunger for God. The possibility of your life counting for something so much more than just yourself, so much more than just what this world says or qualifies as success, when we have a hunger and a drive and a desire for God, out of this, an atmosphere of abundance explodes. And I want to, speaking of YouTube videos, I want to show you a YouTube video of two dogs. One is a German Shepherd, and the other is a Labrador. And they both get given a bowl of spaghetti, and they kind of approach it in two sort of different ways. So let's check out this YouTube video as an illustration of hunger. That's like watching Aaron Goodhue eat a KFC mega box meal right there. Just over in seconds. Keep the video rolling. Which one are you when it comes to God? When it comes to the things of God? Are you just kind of picking at it? Are you just kind of standing on the outside? Kind of taking what sort of you kind of like and maybe spitting it back out, you know, having a little bit here and there and just seeing how you go. Are you like that golden retriever? Just, you look at that plate and you just go, just gone. It's not even like, I was actually, some of you would know who Adam Ramsey is. He pastors Liberty Church. He came from this church. And a few years back, I went with Adam Ramsey. He was our youth pastor. And we went and picked up KFC, as you do when you're in youth ministry, for lunch. And I'll never forget, we went to the post office. And I had to go in and get something out of the post office. I literally had to go in, open the post office box, get the stuff out, and come back into the car. And so we both had our KFC meals. I pull up right in front of the post office, like right there. Get outside of the car, walk inside, open the mailbox, get the stuff, close the mailbox, come back in, sit down. It was seconds had gone by. And I looked at him and I said, "Oh, bro, you don't have to wait for me to eat." And he goes, "I haven't. I'm done." I said, "Man, that's amazing. That's not even like eating like a pig. It's like eating like a duck. Have you ever seen a duck? Like, they don't chew. They just go like, oh, 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 oh." And the whole thing just goes down like that. Amazing. Which one are you? How hungry for God are you? Are you someone who, with the things of God, you just got to have more? And here's a great hunger test for you. When you wake, because, you know, it's easy for us in this moment to say, yeah, yes, no, I don't know. Here's a great hunger test for you. When you wake up in the morning, once you kind of come out of the fog and turn the alarm off and this and that, what is your first desire? What is the first thought that captivates you? Because, I mean, you know, everybody's first thought is, oh, my God, when the alarm goes off. I understand. But the first thought that captivates you, that goes, I gotta have this. This is the first thing I need today. What is it? Is it Instagram? Is it checking the phone, seeing who's texted, checking emails? What is it? Or is that first thought, God, I need you today. I need your scripture today. I need to know you. I need to see you today. It's a great hunger test for all of us. I want to look at tonight three areas of abundance, just as I'm going to finish up here in just a couple of moments. I won't take a lot of time. Three things that I believe God wants to bring abundance into our lives, into our church, into this city in 2017 and beyond, as we are carriers of an atmosphere of abundance. Just someone who's going somewhere full of life, full of God, full of hunger for Him. We want more of Him. We want to bring Him everywhere we're going. The first thing is this: I believe that we're coming into a day of abundant miracles. Number one. Abundant miracles. Verse 43, it says, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." There was an awe, and there's an awe for us when we are captured by Jesus, and then amazing things can happen. When we have an awe, when we have a hunger, when we have an atmosphere of abundance, I believe that we are in a day where God wants to do miracles like never before. I believe He wants to do miracles in your life. I believe He wants to do miracles in this place, miracles in this city, and we need to be a people who are so full of life and have an atmosphere of abundance that we believe miracles are possible. How many of you believe tonight that miracles are possible? You know, this is why Paul, nothing could keep him down. The apostle who wrote a lot of the New Testament, nothing could keep him down. Nothing could kind of press him down. Is when something bad would happen, he would think, "I can't wait to see what miracle God does to turn this around. I can't wait to see what God does." So a lot of us kind of, we believe in miracles, we want miracles, but we don't want to be in a situation where we need one. And oftentimes we get in a situation where we need a miracle and we're kind of like, "Oh, what happened?" But an atmosphere of abundance is an atmosphere like Paul had, where when he would get in a situation that seemed impossible, he would go, "I am so excited to see how God is going to turn this for His glory." And I believe it's the same in you. It's the same in your life. It's the same in my life. When we have an atmosphere of abundance, we have an atmosphere where we're going around life believing anything is possible. Anything is possible. That our God is powerful, our God is great, our God is mighty, and He wants to do miracles in our lives. So the first thing is abundant miracles. Let's believe. You know, like Daryl was talking about, the incredible miracle too of people being born again, people seeing Jesus, people's hearts coming alive in Him, in God. It's an incredible thing. You know, we had 8 people make decisions last week for Jesus. Every week we have people make decisions to follow Jesus in this place, and it is an incredible miracle. And I pray one of the greatest miracles I could pray for you to see and experience this year is for you to personally be a part of seeing someone led to Jesus in 2017. Abundant miracles. The second thing is I believe it's a time and that God, an atmosphere of abundance creates abundant resource. Verse 44 and 45, "And all who believed were together and had all things common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." I like that it says that in verse 46 too, that they were glad and generous about it. No one manipulated them. You know, they were not telling a sad story. They were not whatever. They were glad and generous. And there's something about when everybody comes together and brings an atmosphere of abundance and brings abundance into everything that we're doing, the power behind that and the resource that is created in that. It's like my wife has this thing. She loves jigsaw puzzles. Now, my idea of hell would be to be given like a 10,000 piece jigsaw puzzle and just perpetually you have to put it together. And then, you know, you almost finish it and there's one piece missing, and then you go to bed and you wake up the next day and you have to put the whole puzzle back together again. Like, that would be the worst version. It's like torture. She loves it. She puts together these pieces. But you know, when you get out the box, it just looks like a mess. It just looks like a bunch of pieces, but it's as every piece fits together. It's as every little piece comes in and does what they do. And so I believe when we have an atmosphere of abundance in our life, there is an abundance of resource because every piece is in its place. And don't you look down on where you're at or what you can do or the power of you bringing life into your situation, you bringing life into your school, into your workplace, you bringing life into this church, into your life group, you bringing an atmosphere of abundance, an atmosphere that's believing, an atmosphere that is full of the life of God. Every piece that comes together becomes a part of God's big plan, becomes a part of something big that God is doing. And it's as we all bring that piece, but we so easily look at it and go, "It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really, I'm not really making any difference. I'm not whatever. I just, you know, maybe one day I'll wait until I have like 50 pieces that I can put in. Until then, I'm just going to kind of sit back. I'm just going to kind of not do anything, or maybe it doesn't matter right now. No, let me tell you, it's as you bring what you've got, as you have an atmosphere of abundance around your life, that there's an abundance of resource around us. And that's why I've been challenging you guys, particularly this 6 o'clock service, to step into generosity this year in your life. Cross that line. You know, don't be the person who always gets shouted when you go out. Why don't you shout your friends once? You know, don't be the guy who like hangs back while everyone's ordering coffees. Oh, Steve, you paid again. Oh, okay, cool, thanks. Well, in that case, I'll have a bacon egg roll and eggs benny and then a couple of takeaways as well. Let's be the person who goes somewhere with generosity, goes somewhere with an atmosphere of abundance. When it comes to church, don't just come to church and think like, what can I take? What can I get out of this? Come to church saying, how can I give? How can I, what can I be a part of? Because it's as every piece comes together that we make a difference. And the last thing is the keys come on up is, I believe an atmosphere of abundance creates abundant grace. Abundant grace. Verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. There is an abundant grace for you and for me and for our situation, for our city tonight. An abundant grace, an overflowing grace. And I pray that we'd be a people with an atmosphere of abundance that creates and lives in abundant grace tonight. You know, so many times Christianity can be known for abundance of judgment, I suppose, or abundance of rules, or abundance of things like that. But I pray that you and me, that we would be known as a people with hearts that are abundant and overflowing with grace. We want to be a place where there's an abundance of grace. It doesn't run out, it doesn't run dry, it flows 24/7, that we approach life with a heart, with an attitude that goes, God, save me! He can save anybody. If he saved me, he can save anybody. No one's too far gone. Nothing's too lost. Nothing's too far away. No one's too far away. You can even be laughing in my face, spitting in my face. You can be profaning the name of Jesus. You're not too far gone. There is grace for you. Acts 4:33 says, with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and abundant grace was upon them all. I pray for you that out of an atmosphere of abundance, that abundant grace would be one of the things that you're known for, that you overflow into the world around you with abundant grace. And I pray that we as a church would be overflowing with grace to the world, to the city around us. We want to be a church who is giving, who is life-giving, who is full of grace. We want to be a church who plants other churches. We want to be a church who gets behind young leaders and raises them up and releases them into the call of God that's behind them. We want to give away as much resource, as much money, as much of ourselves, as much of our time, as much of everything we can to the world around us, because God's grace was given so freely to us. We want to be abundant to grace. We want to send missionaries and people to the ends of the earth to go and proclaim Jesus' name. We want to get behind Compassion Kids and feed kids and educate kids in Jesus' name. We want to be a people overflowing with abundant grace to the world around us. A heart with abundance of harshness says to yourself, says to the world about around you, you're not good enough. A heart with an abundance, an atmosphere of abundance, and an abundance of grace says Jesus is more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. So let me challenge you, last thought tonight. Be an atmosphere carrier. Don't just respond to the atmosphere around you. It's so easy to do. And it's honestly, it's one of the hardest things to walk into a different atmosphere and not respond to it, but rather lead in it and challenge it and drive into it. But do that. Be an atmosphere carrier. Don't just respond to the temperature of the world around you. Set it. Set it. And there is an abundant grace for you tonight. And I pray that as you go and as you set an atmosphere, that you would give abundant grace to the world around you. be a person who's overflowing with an atmosphere of abundance, an atmosphere of life, an atmosphere of hope, an atmosphere of joy, an atmosphere that says, Jesus has changed everything in my life, and he can do the same thing for you. He can do the same thing for you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your incredible, indescribable abundance towards us. Jesus, you stripped yourself of every bit of glory so that you could put that glory upon us, so that you could say, you are my son, you are my daughter, you're forgiven, you're alive, you're free. Jesus, your abundance, your grace, your love over us is overwhelming, God. And I pray that we wouldn't put you in a small little container. We wouldn't put you in a small little place in our hearts and in our minds. We wouldn't section you off into one part of our life. We wouldn't just leave you abandoned into one place. But God, we would have a hunger. We would have a drive. We would have a desire to know you. And out of that hunger, God, an atmosphere of abundance to the world around us. That everywhere we go, Lord, we would be carriers of your life and your grace. I pray that this church would be a place of your grace, a place of your life, Lord God, that anyone can walk in this place and know that Jesus loves them. And I pray for the same thing for us, that as we go and live our life, God, we would carry your grace to the world around us. We would set an atmosphere in everywhere we go that says Jesus is alive and he loves you. He loves me today. God, we thank you for your abundance towards us and for us, both now and forevermore, Lord.